And what happened then was I would end up drunk texting my ex-husband and his girlfriend. Then I would wake up in the morning and I would see the indicator light flashing on my phone. And I remember doing these things. I didn't ever black out, but I do remember doing these things. And I would wake up to that flashing indicator light and I would just get this awful feeling in the pit of my stomach.
Welcome to Women Over 50, a life redesigned. Life experiences, expert interviews, and no fluff approach to personal development to help you step boldly and confidently into this exciting and unique stage. Join your host, Shelley, midlife strategist and recovering self-help addict, as we explore creating a life you love and deserve.
Welcome to another episode of Women Over 50, A Life Redesigned. When I was putting episode zero into post-production, I was listening to it, and you hear this edgy music, this nice voice, and then all of a sudden I come on, and I'm like, greetings, friends. Thinking I probably need something with a little more pizzazz for when I first come on, so if you have any suggestions, I would love to hear it. Before we get started on this episode, and I tell you the story about the time I ran away from home, I have a question for you. Is there a time in your adult life that you have ever run away from home or felt like running away from home, and why? I would love to share your story on upcoming podcasts. You can email me at Shelley, Shelley, at shelleydryman.com, and I will post that down in the show notes. Okay, let's get started. When I was 48, I left my second husband. He had just committed one too many transgressions for me. And I'm not going to go into the nitty-gritty of that, but let's just say I was blindsided by this last and final transgression of his. So I left him and I moved out into this really cute little duplex. And I lived there for a couple years. And during those 2 years, I just fell apart. I mean, I look back now and I'm thinking, girl, what in the hell happened to you? I was drinking all the time. I mean, a lot. I was drinking a lot. Two bottles of wine in a night was not unusual for me. And then I would stay up late listening to sad Brandi Carlile songs. And what happened then was I would end up drunk texting my ex-husband and his girlfriend. Then I would wake up in the morning and I would see the indicator light flashing on my phone. And I remember doing these things. I didn't ever black out, but I do remember doing these things. And I would wake up to that flashing indicator light and I would just get this awful feeling in the pit of my stomach because I knew what I had done. I regretted it, obviously. But yes, I was 48 years old. I was drunk texting people. Too old to be doing crap like that. Drinking too much, I was on antidepressants, I was gaining a lot of weight. I spent a lot of time complaining about my life to anyone who would listen, and I feel really bad for the people I hung out with back then because, man, did they get an earful. And I think back on that, I was even getting tired of me, but I just couldn't stop talking about it. And I think the reason I couldn't stop talking about it because I didn't understand. I didn't understand what was happening and what was going on. He was very manipulative. He gaslighted me. He would turn things around to the point where I would think, oh, well, this is all my fault. If only I had not. So it was crazy making, to put it lightly. And I was just really confused because I had so many mixed messages. And I think the constant complaining and verbalizing was my way of trying to figure it out, which was totally inappropriate to do that to my friends, but I did it. So let me give you an example of just how out of control I was, especially with my drinking and other things. My friend at the place I worked in HR, I would go in almost every morning to give her an update on all the drama that had occurred the night before. I remember one time she said, here's what you're going to do. She said, you're going to go to the doctor, you're going to talk to your doctor, and you're going to take medical leave. They cannot ask you here at work anything about it. All you need to do is go tell your doctor what's going on and tell her you need to take medical leave for a week or so. And I thought, well, okay, I probably need to do that. The night before I was to go to the doctor, we'd had a small little birthday party for one of my friends who turned 40, and I made spaghetti and a cake and all that stuff. I get up the next morning. I go to the doctor. She puts me on antidepressant and then gives me my note for work. which I then take to my CEO, who's really great. She doesn't say anything. She just says, I get it. Sometimes we all just need a break. And then I went home. When I got home, I went to take my clothes off, which, by the way, were the same clothes I had worn the night before. And I looked down, and there was a huge spaghetti stain on my shirt. I had gone to the doctor, I had gone to the pharmacy, and I had gone to work. No telling what I looked like to those people. So that was just like one of those, not really rock bottom moments, but one of those moments where I realized that perhaps I was a little bit out of control. Okay, so where were we? Drinking too much, antidepressants, drunk texting Mike's husband, complaining. And I was just sad. I was just really, really sad. I cried a lot. I don't know. It's just really hard to explain. So that's where I was when I was 48. Now, I had a friend out in Colorado who knew my situation, and she was always telling me, "You need to come out here. You need to come out here and stay." And I always had an excuse. Well, I can't come out in October because it's snowing out there. I can't come out because my lease isn't up on my apartment. I can't come out because I don't have a job. I mean, these were all just excuses because I was afraid to do it. I was afraid to take that leap. And there was a moment in my life where I was really forced to make a decision. It was a really cold day. I think it was in December of 2011. And I was on my way to work and I got caught behind a train. There was this train that ran on the tracks on my way to work. I was caught behind it a lot of times, but this morning in particular was really hard. I was the first one in line. I was hungover and I was sick and I was tired. And I'm sure I had already had drama that morning from texting my ex-husband the night before. And I was just miserable. And I just watched the train and I listened to the clickety clack, clickety clack, clickety clack of the wheels on the tracks, and I couldn't take it anymore. I just could not take it anymore. And I thought, if I hit the gas, I can just ram into the train. Surely that's going to do something. I mean, my little car against this, million pound coal train was definitely going to do some damage. And I thought, well, I'll show him. I'll show that bastard. I'll just run into that train. I'll end all my misery, and he'll be sorry. Well, obviously I didn't do that, but it put the fear of God into me. Seriously, I thought, oh my gosh, I've got kids, I've got grandkids. What would that do to them? How would they feel if they found out that their mom had, run herself into a train? That was one of the reasons I decided that that wasn't a good idea at the moment. What I did do, I went to work. And I went to the human resource department. The woman I went to was actually a good friend of mine. I just said, here's my 6 weeks notice. And I went to my office, I shut the door, and I got this big sigh of relief. I thought, I wasn't scared. I wasn't going, oh my gosh, what did I just do? It was just a really good feeling. I had made a decision. Although spur of the moment, I had made a really hard, concrete decision. And probably in the back of my mind, since my friend had been talking to me about it, and since I loved Colorado and I had been going out there for years, subconsciously, it was back there. And maybe it wasn't so spur of the moment. It was just that I wasn't afraid to say it out loud. So I made that decision. I spent the next 6 weeks selling most of my stuff, getting ready to move, and I packed up just what I needed. And I left. I didn't have a job out there. I had no prospects of a job, and I didn't have any money. I think I had about $1,000 to my name, which isn't going to get you far. I went out there. I changed my life drastically. Colorado is so quiet. When you go out into the mountains or you find a trail, it's just so quiet. It's peaceful and beautiful that you can't help but sit there and let all that goodness just marinate your soul. And it was quiet for another reason too. I was away from the noise, away from the drama of what was going on back home with my ex-husband and all of his girlfriends. So I was able to heal physically and emotionally. I spent a lot of time running trails. I hiked a couple of 14ers, 14,000 feet mountains. I felt good. I felt really good about myself. And in that quiet and in those moments of becoming healthy, I turn inward And I created a lot of self-awareness about myself, where I figured out why I was doing the things I was doing, where I wanted to go with my life, and how I was going to make my future better. Spent a lot of time doing that, created some self-awareness. And one of the things that I learned in doing this self-awareness work and also research on it is that we have to have a solid foundation. And I talked about this in the introductory episode zero, where a lot of times we try to figure out or move forward in our lives on faulty information. We don't have a lot of information about ourselves, and we don't have a plan, a solid foundation of self-awareness and our core values of who we want to be. Well, who are we? I mean, do we even really know at this age, at the age of 50, after so many decades of being told, you know, this is how you should do it. This is what I want you to do. This is what society says. This is what your family says. I remember when I met my first husband, who my mother really liked, and she told me, she said, you need to marry that boy. He'll calm you down. And my first thought was, well, why do I need to be calmed down? And my second thought was, okay, I'll marry him, because I didn't have any options at that time. My parents weren't really good at sitting me down and saying, hey, we think you should go to college, or we think you would be really good at this. At the age of 19, my mother said, you need to get married. So I did. I fell into the rhythm of what other people wanted. And we're going to talk about this in a future podcast. But that's what happens when you don't have a solid plan. We don't have a plan for what you want to do in your life, then everyone else's plan becomes yours. But I digress. So I was out in Colorado. I got healthy. I got happy. I lost about 40 pounds and I just felt good. I had to come back to Missouri because I ran out of money. I did try to find some professional jobs out there and came really close to getting some great positions, but it didn't work out. Came home. Life was really good for 5 or 6 years. As I said in my introductory podcast, I'm finding myself slipping a little bit. That's okay. That's okay, because we all have mountains. We get to the summit. We have the peaks, and then we're going to slide back down occasionally. We're always leveling up, which is a term I got from my dear friend Angelique, which I love. We're always leveling up, and that's where I am in my life right now. I don't recommend running away to Colorado or running away from home to anybody on the spur of the moment, but it was good for me, and that's what I did. It was a really good decision at that time in my life, and I'm really glad I did it. I did learn a lot about myself just getting away from the environment that I was in. And when I came back, I changed my environment. You can't remove yourself from a situation, get better, and then come back to the exact same situation. That system isn't going to work for you anymore. And I did lose some friends, a couple of reasons. One of them was they didn't like the way I had changed. They disrupted their equilibrium because I was different. I also let go of friends that I knew would not be good for my well-being. So, you know, that's what happens when you change. When I came back, I couldn't go back into the same system, like I said. And what happens in systems is, it's really very interesting, is that we all belong to a system, whether it's a family or work environment or a faith group or something. We belong to a system. We all understand how we all work within that system. And systems like homeostasis, they like to come back to equilibrium. And what happens when one part of the system changes, the other parts of the system are saying, I don't know how to act now. I knew how to act when Shelley did this, but now that Shelley has changed, what's my role? I don't know how to act. And it puts the whole system into disequilibrium, into disarray. So the system's always trying to get back to homeostasis, and they may, the other parts of the system, the other people in the system may act out, become angry, and not really know their role anymore. It can be a tricky situation when you leave a system, get better, and then come back into it. Just something to be aware of. I believe that's all for my story. I will definitely be talking about it more in future podcasts, intertwining the things that I've learned and the things that I've done. So thanks for listening. And before we go, I want to let you know that we have a Facebook group, Women Over 50, A Life Redesigned. I will pop that link into the show notes. Also, if you would hit subscribe on this podcast, one little click goes a really long way. All right, friends, thank you. And until next time, Stay awesome.